This brand is called Nothing, and it was everywhere. 100,000 orders in 24 hours. Yet, strangest of all was the design. A glass back with over 900 LEDs, a minimalist OS, and it was half the price of an iPhone. Fans loved it and thought it was the next big thing, the iPhone of Androids. Yet, these same fans quickly turned on the company. What happened? How did Nothing fall from grace? So, what the heck even is this brand? Why the name Nothing? Well, our story starts with Carl Pei, an entrepreneur from Sweden. If you know that name, it's probably from another phone company he started, OnePlus, high-spec phones for low cost. OnePlus was doing very well, growing 163% in 2020, even in a year when the phone market shrunk 15%. But Carl did something unexpected. He left his own company? Why? Internal drama? Was he muscled out? Actually, it wasn't that dramatic. He said, OnePlus has been my singular focus for the last 7 years. I'm looking forward to taking some time off to decompress and then follow my heart on to what's next. Carl quickly began working on something new. He got investor backing, including Steve Huffman, the CEO and founder of Reddit, and even Casey Neistat. So, what was next? It was another phone company, but this wouldn't be another OnePlus, and it wasn't just phones either. He founded a brand new company in October 2020 called Nothing, a brand all about simple, minimalist products. Less is more, hence the name, Nothing. But let's take a step back. The phone industry has become stagnant. Everything, be it premium, mid-range, or cheap smartphones, all kind of look the same. They kind of all look like an iPhone. Carl wanted to change that. He explained, if you copy Apple, your design will also be very easily identified to that period in time. We want to create a more timeless design language by moving away from Apple and creating consistency. So in March 2022, Nothing unveiled their Phone 1, a mid-range Android phone but with a very different look. The most notable is the clear glass back, showing different components and bright LEDs. I actually really like this design. Their phones, headphones, and earphones all remind you of that clear design trend from the 90s, which many people are nostalgic for. But it's not just the clear back. The idea of Nothing was to make a more accessible phone that also doesn't try and keep you on your phone 24/7. So, the back features over 900 programmable LEDs which have unique pulses for notifications, ringtones, a great camera fill light, and even your phone's charge level. It's definitely a gimmick and it looks wild and out there, but that's exactly the point. As a new company in such an old market with some very dominant players, you have to grab people's attention, and it's hard to do that with a product that looks exactly like the rest. Inside the phone, it had a custom Nothing OS built on Android which looks fantastic, but the most important detail? The price. £399. At the time, less than $500. About half the price of the iPhone 13. It had cheaper components to be clear, but it looked and felt premium. It wasn't a dumb phone nor just another commodity phone. It looked and felt good. Yet part of its success came from Carl himself. Carl had quite a bit of clout from OnePlus, and to build hype, he drip-fed specs and features on X and Reddit. People really believed Nothing was the next big thing and wanted in. In just 2 days, the Nothing phone had 100,000 people on the waitlist. Then the phone came out and that momentum continued. 2 years later, Nothing 2 was dropped and it had 100,000 sales in just half the time, 24 hours. Unbelievable for a new company. They had small market share but they were rising fast. Everything seemed to be going great. But in reality, people were beginning to notice some quirks. The phones were awesome for the most part, but things slowly started to go off track. Nothing soon got a lot of attention for all the wrong reasons. One of the main factors driving Nothing's success is design and user experience. Better design means better retention, and that's why I'm excited to talk about today's sponsor, Mobin. Mobin is the world's largest UI and UX design reference library. Over 500,000 real screens, 1,200 industry-leading apps, and 260,000 user flows all in one place. Most design inspiration sites are full of pretty concepts that fall apart in real products. The alternative? Manually downloading apps and taking hundreds of screenshots for competitive research. It's slow, painful, and completely unnecessary now. Mobin fixes this by giving you real designs from real products, so you can benchmark competitors, find best practices, and stay ahead of trends in minutes instead of days. The magic is in the search and filters across 300 categories, so you can find exactly what you need in seconds. Onboarding flows, signup pages, paywalls, anything. The flow tree shows entire user journeys at a glance, while the app detail page reveals how top products handle everything from login to checkout. And when you're done, export straight to Figma or save it in collections to keep your team on the same page. Over 1.8 million designers use Mobin, including teams at Airbnb, Uber, Meta, Pinterest, and Headspace. It's become the go-to tool for shipping better designs faster. So if you're done wasting time with screenshots or scrolling through Pinterest for ideas that never ship, check out Mobin. Click the link in the description and start designing smarter today. Thank you to Mobin for supporting our videos. Nothing 2 was much like Nothing 1. The same design, better performance, small quality of life improvements. People love the iconic, weird, and bold design. This felt like something different, though the price was higher, £579 or $599, but still great value for a mid-range phone. But the problems arose when Phone 3 was revealed. First, the design was overhauled, and fans were not happy. The original design was gone. The cameras were moved to strange asymmetrical positions. The LEDs were removed and replaced with the Glyph Matrix, a small circular screen you could load with different designs. People gradually began to warm up to this design, but what they didn't warm up to was the price. This was supposedly Nothing's flagship phone. That might sound like a buzzword, but in the tech industry, that word means the best we can offer. It meant competing with the iPhone Pro, Galaxy Ultra, or Pixel Pro. Sounds fine, but for fans, this was signaling a problem. Nothing was moving from mid-range to premium, and we need to look no further than the price. The Phone 3 starting price, with 12GB of RAM and 256GB of storage, was US$799 or £799. And for $899, you could get 16GB of RAM and 500GB of storage. That's a big price jump. It was now squarely in iPhone territory, and fans were not happy. They felt that it was a betrayal of the original idea, a mid-range, good-value phone. Also, at that price, the specs were somewhat underwhelming. It had a Snapdragon 8S Gen chip, which is used by other phones like the Poco F7 for around US$470. It had 50 megapixel cameras on both the back and the front, but in practice, they were just okay, especially in low light. Ironically, this was something the Phone 1 and the Phone 2 were good at thanks to those LEDs. To be clear, it was still a really good phone, but you were essentially paying near flagship money for mid-tier internal specs. Some of the other phones around its price range offered better cameras, faster chips, and a better value. It was a regular Nothing phone, but with a higher price and a lot of gimmicks.
It's got all the makings of what could be a flagship, but when you peel back the mask just a little bit, like right under the surface, it's the same exact strategy that Nothing has been running on all their previous phones in the past. The playbook is to just cut back just a little.
People were disappointed. I've waited 2 years to buy this phone, and all they did was convince me to buy a Pixel 10. Strangest of all, however, is what Nothing did next. Carl responded directly to these reviews on YouTube, a lot of them. In all honesty, the responses were very polite and not overblown.
You're somebody who just wants like great specs and you don't really care how it looks, how it feels, then there's a bunch of other options. Like, we didn't need to exist for those options to be available. But if you're somebody who's looking for something more unique and our design language, our software speaks to you, then you have another option now. Isn't it better to have more options?
But there was still a problem. Many criticisms were deflected, not addressed, with Carl saying they're just a startup and that some people like the product and that it's not for everyone. The defense was essentially, we're different, so it's fine. But Carl seemed to misunderstand or ignore why people were actually frustrated. Carl doesn't realize that he is not competing against Nothing Phone 2. He is competing against the actual flagships. Dear Nothing, design is okay, can be dealt with, but the price is not. Thank you. I do get where Carl's coming from, because a phone like Nothing is more than just specs. There's the design, the Nothing UI, and the general brand feel. With the price of the Phone 3 though, that brand was doing a lot of heavy lifting, and fans weren't buying it. The backlash was real, yet somehow, that's not even the worst of it. In November 2023, Nothing launched Nothing Chats, private end-to-end encrypted text between Android and iMessage. Sounds great, so what's the issue? Well, within 24 hours, the app disappeared from the Play Store. As it turns out, developers did some digging and found some big flaws. First, in order to use Nothing Chats, you had to use your iCloud login. Okay, bit strange, but sure. Then a developer, Dylan Rosal, did some digging and found that messages were sent in plain text to Sentry, a bug reporting platform, and stored unsecured on Firebase. Sunbird, the app developer, had access to every single message, but it got worse. Anyone with the right expertise could access these messages, since there wasn't any form of actual end-to-end encryption, despite Nothing claiming it did. The app was quickly pulled from the App Store, but this was just the tip of the iceberg. Nothing had a bunch of strange ideas, which were, to put it bluntly, poorly thought out. The Nothing 3 and 3A launched with Essential Space. This was an AI-powered vault and was a key selling point of the phones. It organized screenshots, voice notes, reminders, and more with an essential key. Sounds great, so what's the issue? Well, customers quickly learned that it wasn't really a feature of the phone. Instead, it was an extra service with a big price tag. People also quickly noticed monthly limits on storage. Some users did some digging and found some code mentioning claim free trial and a claim price $120. Fans were confused and upset. But what's the problem? Apple and Google have a cloud with a subscription. Well, Nothing didn't mention there was a usage limit. This was marketed as a main feature of the phone, yet secretly, it seemed to be a subscription service. Customers were becoming more and more frustrated. It is pretty much one of the reasons I went for the 3A. I am kind of forgetful, and this has been very useful to keep track of my work tasks. Now, I can't do any of it. Nothing quietly increased the limits, and Carl insisted there were no plans for premium features yet. Fans were also noticing something else. Nothing was slowly changing from an open mid-range value-driven phone company to something else entirely. The company has changed its ways since their success in the phone market. Not the old enthusiastic customer-oriented company anymore. People were calling this a walled garden. Nice features, but behind expensive software, products, and subscriptions. This was looking like the same ecosystem moat Apple has. With Apple, however, you buy into that idea from the beginning. Nothing seemed to be moving away from its initial pitch. Good value, openness, minimalism, and a bit of rebellion to exclusivity and a walled garden. So, how is Nothing doing? Well, on the surface, Nothing seems to be doing well. In 2024, Nothing was the fastest growing smartphone brand, with a 567% increase year over year. As of July 2025, the company has passed $1.5 billion in total revenue. And speaking of goals, we're trying to cross 1 million subscribers by the end of this year, and we're over 80% there. If you hit subscribe right now, we might just be able to pull it off. But even with that revenue, they're still not quite self-sufficient, let alone profitable. In 2023, they raised $100 million, and now in 2025, they're trying to do it again. In total, they have 7 million device sales to date, and are now shipping 1 million a quarter. Very impressive, but Samsung, by comparison, is shipping 57 million. Of course, Samsung is a titan and Nothing is a startup, but it shows the scale of their competition. Nothing has about 0.2% of the total market, and with the controversies of the Phone 3, they need all the help they can get. It seems like Apple also needs all the help they can get. Check out this video to learn more. But until then, I'm Hari, and I'll see you guys on the next one.